was awesome. Glad to have him back. He was telling me how to do a certain run a little while back. He said, I bet you're sorry I came back. I said, no, let it rip, Tater Chip. Show me. Teach me. It is a foolish person that thinks they know it all. Look around and tell somebody that. It's a foolish person that thinks they know it all. I know I don't know it all. Praise God. I do know a few people that think they do. Y'all met a few of them too, hadn't you? You heard giggles. God is so good. Yeah, go and get the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're going to get all this up here in a minute. Hopefully, we'll get it all here. It's been crazy. Crazy, but God's got this. Amen. Y'all pray for Linda's mama. She's back in the hospital. They just told us Friday that they had everything cleared up. Well, obviously they didn't, because the emergency, I mean, the rescue squad took her to the hospital, and she still has everything they said she didn't. So I applaud. No, I'm sorry. I don't want to get sarcastic here. All right. A guy spots a sign outside a house that reads "Talking Dog for Sale." Talking dog for sale. Intrigued, he walks in and says, "So, what have you done with your life?" He asks the dog. "I've lived a very full life," says the dog. "I've lived in the Alps rescuing avalanche victims. Then I served my country in Iraq. And now I spend my days reading through the residents of the retirement home." The guy's flabbergasted. He asked the dog's owner, "Why on earth would you want to get rid of an incredible dog like that?" The owner says, "Because he's a liar. He's never done any of that." Amen. Well, today I want to talk to you about another liar that we know, and that's Satan. Satan is doing his best nowadays. He's coming full front on. It's a full frontal attack. He's giving it everything he's got. And one of the tools that he used was not just COVID, but the fear and the terrorism caused by COVID. And now monkeypox, and there's all kinds of things out there. And I notice some people are scared to even get out of their house. They're scared to even talk to anybody for fear they may catch it. And they know other people that caught it and died. And so they're just afraid. They're afraid of all this. And then we have other people that we've lost loved ones, and Satan just does his best just to tear us out of our frame and get fear to resonate inside of us and cause us to believe his lies versus believing the truth of God. And it amazes me just how many people have fallen victim to his lies. And what amazes me even more is the Christians that have fallen to the lies of Satan. So now we're going to talk about this. It'll probably take 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, because we don't want to rush it. I just want to take it calm and easy, because I really want everybody to soak this in. You've got to soak it in. Somebody say soak it in. You know, it's so amazing that sometimes we go to church. I remember years ago, you go to church, everybody's jumping and shouting and having a good time, and you walk outside and say, "Man, that was an awesome service!" And say, "What did he preach about?" "I don't know." I promise you on Monday morning, Satan is not going to be afraid of you saying, "Well, we sure shouted Sunday." But he is going to be afraid of you with a good attitude and afraid of you with God's Word. Amen? So it's so important. The older I get and the closer I get to stepping over to the other side, the more I realize that the only way we're going to make it through this world is not through our emotions, but through God's Word. I love emotions. You say, is all that shouting necessary? No, but neither's taking a bath, but it sure feels good. I love shouting, you know, but at the same time, when I'm jumping, I want to land on something, and that's the Word of God. Amen? And so we're going to talk about a giant still fall. And get your Bible out. Turn to 1 Samuel. All I keep hearing for the last week is we're living in the land of giants. We're living in the land of giants. We're living in the land of giants. And so It just keeps resonating in me. We're living in the land of giants. We're living in the land of giants. You know, every time I turn on the television, there's been some times where I might be in there watching the news and Linda come in and flip it. Turn it to a cowboy show. And I say, "You're turning that to cowboy?" She says, "Yeah, because your nerves are getting ready to go off." You know, watching all this stuff. Because you know what? Honestly, if you're watching the news, what you're watching is gaslighting. There's a whole lot of gaslighting going on, trying to tell you to take in whatever is the facts, and by the time they get through spinning it, you don't even know what it means anymore. You can't even tell anymore. And they got the good guys looking bad and the bad guys looking good, unless you flip the channel and it's right the opposite. Just please, just give me the facts and let me decide. Amen. Just give me the facts. If I've got the facts, I can make a good decision. If I got the facts and you're gaslighting me, then it's crazy. Okay? So now, giants are out there. They're not just filling in our lives, they're infiltrating our lives. They're everywhere. The land of the giants. We find that if you notice as time goes by, if you're not careful, now listen to me, if you're not careful, you'll start feeling smaller and smaller and smaller. I don't mean physically, but to the point where, well, my vote don't count. What I say doesn't do anything anyway. Why should I even worry? I'm just going to go with the flow. What's going on? You're being attacked by a giant. The giants are getting to you. They're gaslighting. And what gaslighting is making you think you're thinking something or feeling something that you're really not feeling, or taking, you know, and going, that's not really a cell phone. That's not a cell phone. You just think it is. That's not a cell phone. I can tell you that's not a cell phone. Don't even look at the cell phone. Because watch. See? It's not there. When all the time we see the stuff happening in front of us. And what happens is the giants are infiltrating and destroying in our lives. Now turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. My absolute favorite story in the Bible. 1 Samuel. Actually, in some Bibles, this is 1 Kings. And in some Bibles, 1 Kings is actually 3 Samuel. So it all depends on where you're looking at. But 1 Samuel chapter 17, stand for the reading of the word. Verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I have come to thee in the name of the Lord of the host, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thee the head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's." Y'all say that with me. "For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Reach forth your hands this way. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well. And God, you are on the throne. And God, you are still calling the shots. You've never relinquished your power. You've never hollered retreat. You're still standing in command and in control. But you told us that these days were coming. And because you told us they were coming, that lets me know that you're still in command and control, because you already knew it and you told us. And you said, "But these things must happen. This must happen in our lives." And so it's not what's happening to on the outside, but it's how we respond. God, help us, Lord, to know how to respond biblically to all this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, Amen. You can be seated on the way down. Tell somebody, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Say it. That's right. No, come on. If you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. There you go. That's right. Amen. So now, let me just talk for just a minute now. I'm just going to try to fill in some, get it started today. A giant is anything that intimidates, listen to me now, anything that intimidates with its size. Anything that threatens you with its power, and anything that seeks to take away from you. It's the thing that stands between you and victory. So you might not see a real Goliath out there. You may not see the real enemy standing before you with the spears and the swords and the shields. But what it is whatever this thing is that's coming at you, threatening you, know that it is a spiritual giant. Amen? I want you to see here, Goliath. Now, Goliath, I'm just going to show you just what David was up against. David is a teenager. He's about 5'6". I think when they actually exhumed his body, he was like 5'6 or 5'7". So he's a little bitty fella. All right? He's going up against Goliath. Now, Goliath is the champion. The champion is a very special person. Goliath is the person that goes ahead because battles back in that day were very bloody. You know, you think about Gettysburg and all the thousands of people that died at Gettysburg. And honestly, in those days, especially back in the Civil War, many times it's the ones that had the most standing at the end were the ones that won the battle. And back, if we go back even further, before they had actual gunpowder, they would use catapults, and they would use swords and spears and arrows, and with these kind of crude weapons, there was a lot of bloodshed. And because there was a lot of bloodshed, and the ground would be covered with the bodies of all those that had been killed, what they would do is, especially this is what the Philistines would do, they would send out their champion. Their champion, of course, was Goliath, and the champion would come out, and he would fight one-on-one with one person chosen by this group of people, and the person they fought one-on-one with, they fought for everything. Whoever won took possession of the other people and the other things. Now, some of y'all in here, you might not like it when I tell you this. You might think, oh, I didn't choose this. Some of y'all are the champion of your home. Some of y'all are the champion of your family. Some of y'all are champions at work. Some of y'all are champions in your neighborhood. You might not even realize your importance. You downplay your importance, and that's okay that you're humble, but you got to know something. You going down, have you ever noticed that like when my grandmama, she had all these youngins, 7, 8 youngins, and they were always at her house all the time, and granddaddy, and it was something always going on there all the time in that great big house. And I remember D.C. was only a year old. I remember my grandmama died. And we were always together, very close-knit family, always out there listening to NASCAR on the radio because we didn't have ESPN. And they had a radio out there with a coat hanger for the antenna. And they'd be listening to Richard Petty and all that stuff going down. But I remember when she died, it all stopped. See, I'm a granddaddy. But it all stopped. You know why? Because my grandmama was the champion of that family. And when she died and the champion was gone, nobody pulled in to figure out who'd be the next champion. Instead, everybody just dispersed. In the same way, you know people in your life that as soon as they were taken out of the way, everything changed. They were a champion. You are a champion, because I promise you, you say, well, I don't matter anywhere. Yes, you do. You very much matter, because whether you know it or not, you are a catalyst. You are glue that holds a lot of things together, and like it or not, or believe it or not, you take you out of the way, and Satan is going to get to a lot of things that he couldn't get to as long as you were standing in the way. Because of that, I take that very seriously. And so sometimes I don't like the idea of being the champion in certain areas and certain things, but I know that if I don't do it, then it's going to get bad. And so even if I don't feel like it, I'll stand up because I know that God has called me in many areas to be a champion. But at other times, He's called me to be an armor bearer, to stand beside the champion and help the champion. So either way about it, I know that we're all locked in battles every day of our life, whether it's a champion or whether you're the armor bearer, it doesn't matter. Both of them are very, very important. You take either one of them out, you take the armor bearer out, it hinders the champion. You take the champion out, the armor bearer is not going to necessarily be able to fight. And so you got to have them together to do what's got to be done to keep whatever you are the champion of going strong. So let's just watch this guy now. David, he's 5'6", 5'7", 17 years old. And the champion comes up, Goliath. Now Goliath is, depends on what cubic you use, so they give it in cubics, his size. So he's anywhere between 9.9 inches tall to 11 foot tall. Have y'all ever seen a... Look, DC walks up. I feel pretty tall until I get beside DC. Then DC makes me feel like I'm a shrimp. Okay? My granddaddy, Linton, my daddy's daddy, DC would walk up to him, and DC would look like a shrimp. But can you imagine? Somebody, have you ever been around any seven-footers? NBA basketball players? Can you imagine somebody being so big that they make an NBA center look like a shortcake? That's Goliath. Goliath comes in, and many times he's fought since he was a little bitty thing. He was raised fighting. And so Goliath, he wasn't afraid of the fight. He was very bold in what he said. And this man's anywhere between 10 or 11 foot tall. Estimated, he weighed close to 500 pounds. If he fell on you, he'd squish you. The coat of mail, you know what a coat of mail is? That's for interlocking metal that sort of protects you against an onslaught of arrows or anything from penetrating you. Just his coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. His coat of mail weighed more than a lot of people. And his spear, just a spearhead, weighed 32 pounds. This is like a U.S. Army assault tank coming at you. Because when he hit you, he was going to hit you. And it was not going to be a pretty picture. He's threatening these people unceasingly. The Bible says, and 40 is the number of trial, that Goliath had been there for 40 days and 40 nights. He'd come down in the middle of the valley, the Philistines on one side, Israel on the other side, and for 40 days and 40 nights, twice a day, he'd come and say, give me a man, just one man that I can fight with. Just one. We're not going to take the whole army, just one. Now, Saul was the biggest guy out there, King Saul. King Saul saw this, and King Saul said, I ain't going out there. And when King Saul, who was their champion, supposedly backed down, guess what happened to the rest of the people? They backed down too. I want to stop for a minute. I didn't intend to go here, but I got to camp. If you're a champion, there's a lot of people watching you that you're their champion and you don't even know it. And they're not going to engage until they see you engage. They're not going to stand up until they see you stand up. And if you back away, they're going to back away. So it's important. Ask God, God, show me where I'm a champion. Show me and help me to champion the causes that you gave me. Now, what made it even worse was it was one man on one man, but it was winner take all. How do you like those odds? You and I are going to fight, and whoever wins, the other person gets everything the other person owns. Wow. And everybody around, his whole neighborhood. So here it is. This is what's going on. Now this story is over 3,000 years old. But it is as fresh as today. Why? Because I've got a room full of champions sitting in here right now. And there's a Goliath staring at every last one of you. Now my question is, what are you going to do? You didn't volunteer for it. You didn't sign up for it. You didn't say, God, please let me be a champion. So here you are. And you must realize, champion, on the other side of your giant lies your marriage, your family, your ministry, your joy, your peace, and your power. Stop blaming everybody else. The champion has to lead. And the champion has to take on the Goliath first. And then something good. I promise you, something good is going to happen. So let's watch the formation. This didn't just happen overnight. The Bible says in chapter or verse 1 through 11, in the beginning, Israel was dismayed because Goliath was coming out. And that word dismayed actually means to divide or to get advantage of. Now remember, this weren't overnight. This is the formation. Some of you here right now are going, how did I wind up in this position? How did this happen? When did I have to stand up and be the one? When was all this responsibility put on me? But you don't understand. It didn't just happen. It's been happening all along. But you hadn't noticed it. You see, the formation, 40 days and 40 nights. It was not overnight. It's been there. Some of y'all right now don't realize God didn't just make you champions today while we're talking. You've been champions. You just may not have realized it. And today God's saying, hey, I need you to stand up and I need you not to back down because you're a champion for a lot of people behind you. And it's important that you raise that standard. It can't be overstated either because he sought complete, and I do mean complete devastation. If he was to win, he would take out an entire nation. Goliath, that is. He would take out an entire nation. They would be enslaved to him because of the champion against the champion fighting. And whichever champion won, the other would wind up being slaves to the other. And then it cannot be overprepared. You got see, here's one of the problems with a champion, or one of the problems they have, not what that with them, but what they have is, many times a champion tries to win with worldly weapons only. That's it. Worldly weapons. And the champion must realize that this is not only a physical battle. Let me just tell you this. In God's world, not all spiritual battles may be physical. But every physical battle has spiritual parts to it. Every spiritual battle has, or every physical battle has spiritual parts to it. And you got to pay attention, you got to listen, you got to watch, and you can't over-prepare. You've got to put God in the center of it. He's got to see this. He's got to know that you've got Him there, and you realize that this is a spiritual battle. And I'm not going to keep you much longer. I just want to show you something here. Just quickly. What's that? That's the throne of God. is just so light. That's the throne of God with angels in front of him. And that's Goliath. Where's your focus? You see, all of Israel focused on that giant. And when all of Israel focused on that giant, they weren't going to go out there. They said, we ain't going. And so the king, watch this, the king said, well, I'll tell you what, whoever goes out there, I'm going to make them tax-free the rest of their life. That right there is worth fighting the giant. I'm going to make them tax-free the rest of their life. I'm going to give them riches like you wouldn't believe, and I'm going to give them a bride. And the guy said, we ain't going out there. You see how big that guy is? 11 foot tall. Saul, you the biggest guy out here, and you a shortcake compared to him. No! Because everybody focused on the giant. And when you focus on your giants, that causes you to pull back and look at your inability. Let me just tell you this. There's a lot of things we are not able to do on our own. Amen? A lot of things. I can tell you, I think about it all the time when I'm going to nursing homes and funeral homes and hospitals and going up on wrecks and going into some very, very bad things. And I go in there and say, God, I have no idea what to say. I have no idea what to do. But all the way up there, I say, God, okay, I know I'm not able, but I know you're more than able. Give it to me. Pour it on, God. Pour it on, pour it on, pour it on. So instead of running from it, I run to it and say, I know God's going to give it to me when I get there. There's no doubt. See, that's what David did. See, David had his eyes focused on God and God's sufficiency. Not his ability, God's sufficiency. Psalm 62 and 1 and 2 says, He only is my rock, my salvation, my defense. I shall not, I will not be moved. Every champion in here, that should be one of our mottos. And remember, we're all champions. He only is my rock, my salvation, my defense. I will not be moved. And so David is focusing on God, and the entire nation is focusing on the giant. Champion? Those that you're supposed to be championing. I promise you, more than likely, they're focusing on the giant. And it's easy to fall in with them. But I challenge you to focus on God. If I focus on the giant, I'm not able. But if I'm focusing on the giant, on God, I know that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen? So, are you going to focus on the giant or are you going to focus on God? Every champion in here, and remember I told you you're all champions somewhere, somehow. What are you going to look at? What are you going to cling to? And I'm getting ready to close it down for today because I don't want to get into David's fight yet because I really want to really do an analysis, a spiritual analysis on David. Maybe one you might not have ever heard before, and if you have, that's good. If you haven't, get ready. It's going to be a whopper. I love this scripture. Where I am Jehovah, I shall not be changed. Malachi 3:6. And you are the sons of Jacob, and you have not come to your finish. It says, it's by my mercies you aren't consumed. The King James Version. Now there's two points there. Two ways. Number one, you're not consumed because your enemies hadn't taken you all the way down yet. You're here. But number two, not only is your enemies not taking you down, God hadn't taken you down yet. I'm more afraid of God taking me down than my enemies. I'm more afraid of God saying, okay, you're through. Whoop, out of here. So, that tells me that I'm not finished. God said He's going to work in us, and He's going to do that work until Christ comes back. He's going to complete that work, which means whether we're here or not, our work's going to live on past us. But watch. I love this version here. I'll read it one more time. For I am Jehovah, I have not changed, and you are the sons of Jacob. You have not come to your finish. Look at somebody and tell them, He ain't through with me yet. Tell somebody, He ain't through with me yet. Tell somebody, He ain't through with me yet. Now look at him again and say, look at this champion. Do this. Look at this champion. Look at this champion. It don't matter how old I am. Look at this champion. No matter how old I am, how young I am, how pretty I am, how not so pretty I am. You know, I told some of the guys, you know, I was in Pitt Detention Center Thursday night, and I was the librarian. I do librarian and counseling on Thursday nights, and so I was coming through and I was giving Bibles to people and giving books to them, and three guys I came up to, they were on their knees praying, and I tapped on the cell when I got up to them, and they turned around. And I was holding a Bible in my hand and doing like this. And three guys, when they saw me, turned around and raised their hands. One guy started crying like nobody's business. And when they come to me, they said, "Glory!" One guy said, "I was just praying for God to send me a Bible and send me somebody to talk to." And said, I turned around and there you were. I said, "Yeah, God sent a great old big white-headed fat angel to you." And they said, "Well, come here, you white-headed fat angel. You're glorious." You see, God weren't through with those guys. They were locked up. Well, while they were praying, three of them, three specifically, a lot of those guys, but specifically, three praying and three turned around and said, "We thought it was over, and we thank God that God sent you tonight." And I thought about that right when I saw this. "For I'm Jehovah, I've not changed, and you and your sons of Jacob, you have not come to your finish. God still got room for you. Got something for you to do." So watch this. Well, what did he do? Let me read this. How did the champion wind up turning around and watching God instead of the enemy? First off, verse 37. Let's go to verse 36. I love this. All right. Let me just go to 34. I like it even better. Let's go to 34. I'm going to keep on going until we go back to the very first of the book. Ready? "And David said unto Saul," no, I'm going to go back on another one. Let's go on back again. Let's go to 32. Verse 32. "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail him because of him. Thy servant David, I will go and I'll fight with this Philistine. And David said Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him." Now watch. This is the supposing champion telling the real champion it can't be done. You ever been told it can't be done? "You can't go and fight with him. For thou art but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and I took the lion out of the flock. And when I went after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him, and I slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "Moreover, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." First, I just thought it was just a big old chicken talking, but it wasn't a big old chicken talking. You know why? Because if he'd just been a big old chicken talking, and he told him to go ahead, knowing that David didn't have a chance, then he was giving up his entire nation to the enemy. So he saw something there. And what did he see? First, look, he recalled his faith. He recalled the past help of God. Psalm 37 and 25 says, I've been young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. He also realized the present help. I love it. Let's just go a little bit further here. Let's just read about this. I don't want to get too far into it because I really want to concentrate on this next week. "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put his helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword about his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proven them." In other words, I don't even know how to use these things. They're too big, they're bulky, and I don't even know how to use them. And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, with his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistines came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and full of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said, David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves or sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with sword and with spear and with shield, but I am come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day, y'all say this day, will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give thee to the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. So now, he recalled the past help, but he also knew God was going to take care of him now, because he knew that he was the same today, yesterday, and forever. Psalm 46, it says, 46 and 1, it says that he is a very present help in our trouble. And one more slide. DC, come up and start getting ready to play something, son. True, the battle is gigantic. But if King David taught me anything, it's when God is involved, giants do fall. Wow. Are you thinking about those giants in your life? Are you thinking about what's going on in your life? See, the giant in front of you is never bigger than the God in you. Everybody has a stand. Very first thing I want to tell you to remember is that you are a champion. Somewhere, somebody is depending on you to fight for them. I know it gets tired. I know it gets frustrating. I know there's times where you feel like you can't even put one foot in front of the other, but you got to remember, God called you to be an armor bearer, I mean, be a champion, and he's going to send you an armor bearer. When you're tired and you think you can't take another step, remember, look for the armor bearer and look for God. God in heaven and the armor bearer on earth. I had somebody in my family one time, and they told me, they said, man, I really need your help, and you're really helping. Thank you so much. And I immediately looked at that person and said, hold on. You're the champion. I'm just an armor bearer. And it shocked them. And I said, no, this is your family. I'm just here to help you. You're the champion. I'm the armor bearer, but I will not leave your side. I'll be there. And we took on the giant. And we won. God has called you to be a champion, but he also called you to be an armor bearer for other champions. But know this. The battle's not yours, because now you incorporate God. You realize you're the champion, find your armor bearer, and call on God, because the battle's his, not yours. And watch what happens. Something very special will take place. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First First, I want to ask, is there anybody in here that really needs to get themselves right with God? I don't have to call out all kinds of things. You know if you're right or you're not. You know that. And that's something that a champion better be when he goes up against that spiritual enemy, is you need to have yourself right with God. If you're needing to get closer to God, we're not going to point you out. Just what I need you to do is I just need you to raise your hand and say, I'm not as close as I need to be. Pray for me. Put those hands up. I'm not as close to God as I need to be. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Secondly, that you may not have realized that you were a champion for somebody somewhere. And it's important that you don't back down or fall for it. The enemy trying to trip you up and to cause you to be dismayed. But not only you're the champion, you're also an armor bearer for some other champion. Don't back down, stand beside him. I want everybody to raise your hands right now and pray after me. Father, I rededicate my life to you, my purpose to you. Help me to realize that I am a champion. Help me also to realize that I am an armor bearer for someone else. Help me to stand strong in my positions as champion and stand strong beside the other champion as I'm their armor bearer. And God, help me most of all keep you in there, because the battle's not ours, it's yours. And we trust you. And we're giving this to you right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God.